All right, church, can you please open your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers 14. That's interesting. Numbers chapter number 14. All right, Numbers 14, so that I don't cause any confusion. Numbers 14. And I'm going to read from verse number 1 through to verse number 4. Numbers 14, from verse number 1 through to verse number 4. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Will it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let us pray, church. Father, we thank you for another time in your presence to go through your word together. We recognize this word is not ours, this word is not mine, this word belongs to you. And we thank you for giving us your word. Your word is indeed a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path. As we go through your word today, let light shine from heaven, O God. Let it illuminate our heart again. Lord, I pray that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people, my brethren, to receive your word this morning. Let it mix with faith in their heart. Lord, I also pray for myself that you anoint me and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word drop as the rain this morning. Let it distill as the dew of the morning. Let this word bring a transformation in our heart, bringing us more and more in conformity to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more because we've asked. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we did establish over the last 2 weeks that God wants to take us on a journey. And it is what I call a trust journey this year, a trust journey or a faith journey. In other words, he wants you to trust him. And in all things, he wants you to trust him in all things. All means all. And even as he continues to grow our faith, that's the kind of journey that we have embarked upon this year. Why is that so? Because he gave us a clear instruction. Your gains, your progress, your attainment, your triumph in this year 2023 is only going to come on the wings of your trust in him, in me. That's a clear word that the Lord gave us. Your attainment this year, your progress this year, the kind of experience that you're going to be having this year, your triumph over, and your victory is going to come on the wings of your trust in me. So last week we talked about faith farming, in other words, you know, building up our faith. And we talked about two key things to build up our faith. And number one, that's we need to feed it, and then secondly, we need to exercise it. Now, as we embark on this journey, it is incumbent upon every one of us to prepare for certain things, to prepare for certain unwanted things, undesirable elements, certain eventualities, certain things that may happen along the way. And may I even say that certain things are expected to happen, because in time and in history, again and again, it has shown that certain things that were not planned for at the beginning of the journey may happen in this journey of faith, in this trust journey. It's just like you're taking a journey, you're driving to a far place. Obviously, you need to prepare against, you know, a flat tire. And how do you do that? You check that you have, you know, a spare tire in your car. You check that you have, you know, the jack and all the other equipment, just in case along the line you experience flat tire. You check your wiper to be sure that, you know, if rain comes along, you have something to clear your screen so that you're able to have good visibility. You also check, for instance, you check the light just in case, something might happen, some traffic log jam, and then I may need to arrive to where am I, my destination at night. Are my lights okay? So those are the things that you check in order to prepare along the line for eventualities or for certain unwanted elements. Now, there is a particular element that I believe you and I need to prepare for as you embark on this trust journey, 2023, or faith journey. And what's that? It's not so much a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because it's very likely that, it's more likely than not that we're going to encounter, this particular element along our journey this year. And what's that? It's called bad report. It's called bad report. So basically, this morning, I want to talk to you as we continue on our series. The series started 2 weeks ago. We titled it Nothing Too Hard. I want to specifically speak to you on what I've titled, How to Deal with Bad Reports. How to Deal with Bad Reports. You know, in medical practice, there is a particular unit that every doctor is expected to take, and it's called breaking bad news. And it's simply because we work, in a sector where, unfortunately, there are instances where you need to convey certain news that are not so pleasant to people. So the idea behind the unit is to train doctors so that you are able to break those news in a way that does not inflict extra injury to someone that is going to be receiving the news. But what I've discovered over the years, and I've been in medical practice by the grace of God for over 20 years, is that no matter how well-trained the person that is going to break the bad news is, the person that is receiving the news will still need to deal with it. Now, there's nothing wrong with the unit. There's nothing wrong with the training. As a matter of fact, I think it's a very good idea to have that training, because otherwise, some of us would just have opened our mouth and just say anything to people without minding the fact that this news actually impacts their lives. You know, some people come into the clinic and to see the doctor, and they leave that place with their life completely changed by the reason of the news that they have got. You know, I'm sorry, ma'am, you've got cancer. That can completely change the entire lifestyle of a person. You know, I'm sorry, but you've got a growth in your intestine. I'm sorry, ma'am, we're not going to be able to, reconstruct that broken ankle. So it is important that those training, be given to doctors. But what I'm saying is, no matter how trained the person that is receiving the news will still have to deal with it. Now, how do you deal with bad report? How do you deal with bad report? Because, like I said, these are part of the things that the enemy along the line want to throw in, especially as you attempt to grow your faith in God, to throw in as what the Bible refers to as tares. You know, you plant the crop or it's sowing tares. How do you deal with it? A few quick things. Number one, let me make it clear. What makes a bad report a bad report? What makes a bad report actually bad? Because it is, it does not suit you? Not really. It's not because it does not suit you. That's not actually what made a bad report. In the context that we're talking about a bad report, what makes it a bad report is actually because it is inconsistent with the mind of God. It is inconsistent with the mind of God for you in that season. That's what makes it a bad report. Of course, it will have the extra element of not being suitable to you. But what actually fundamentally make bad report a bad report, bad report bad, is simply because it does not, it's inconsistent. It's not in alignment with the word of the Lord for you. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 32, we saw this about 2 weeks ago when Jeremiah told the entire Judah, guys, the Babylonians are coming here. They are going to take you captive. That is going to happen. Of course, that was not a good report to the people. That was not a good news to the people. But was that a bad report in that sense? Not really, because it is God's word. It is actually what God wanted to take place. So it is still, because it's consistent with God's word, it is not essentially a bad report. because it is a fallout of several things that have taken place in the past. And God needed to actually bring about this invasion in order to correct Israel so that when they come back to the land, which they eventually did 70 years after, they will be able to operate in their good senses. So what I'm saying in essence is bad report is called bad in the course of God's word, in the context of what we're sharing today, because it is not consistent with the mind of God or with the word of God. Now, what's the second thing? What's the purpose of bad news? It's very simple. The purpose of the bad news or bad report is to undermine faith, is to destroy faith, is to stunt or starve your faith, your trust in God, is to attack it so that it will not grow. Okay, and that's why it's incumbent on us to learn this right from the very outset, because as you begin to grow your trust in the Lord in the course of this year, expect that the enemy is also going to want to throw him, the spanner of bad report into the wheel of progress. So let's go back to the story in Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers chapter 14, the Bible talks about these people. The Bible says the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. So why are they crying? In fact, the Bible says they cried and the people wept that night. Numbers chapter 14 verse 1, they cried, they wept at night. Now think about it. Weeping generally, attracts attention. Now talk about a weeping that took place at night. Obviously, the whole environment is calm. They were in the wilderness, so their voices will have been loud and clear to whoever was, around that area. They were weeping, they were crying, and it wasn't just one person or a family or just a cluster of family. It was an entire nation. Can you imagine an entire nation, crying at night? Now, they were crying. Everyone started complaining. Why is everyone crying? Why is everyone complaining? And then everyone started discussing about the need to even go back to Egypt. Why would they be contemplating that in the first instance? They traveled this far. They are on their way to Canaan. And all of a sudden, they started crying. They started complaining. And they started discussing about the fact that they needed to go back to Egypt. The Bible says they became fearful. Why are they fearful? All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, they have become fearful for their wives and for their children. Why was all this happening? Why all of a sudden a nation, an entire nation, brought out by the power of God, on their way and on their journey to Canaan, all of a sudden started to weep in the middle of the night? The answer is not far-fetched. It's in Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32. This is what the Bible says. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Oh, so we get it. The reason for the crying, the reason for the wailing, the reason for the complaining, the reason for the contemplation of returning to Egypt, the reason for the fear that has gripped their hearts to want to go back, to Egypt, was simply because a certain bad report has been given to them. Now, what's this bad report? I believe that, I will imagine that 8, 9 out of 10 people here will have been, at one time or the other, heard the story of the spies. So what happened? Chapter 13, just a general overview. They got to a place called the wilderness of Paran. They were always moving from one place to another, guided by the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. That was how they were moving. So they would move the children of Israel. As soon as they came out of Egypt, they were led by the pillar of cloud during the day, pillar of fire at night. And then when the presence of God moves, they follow it. When the pillar of cloud moves, they follow it. When the pillar of fire moves, they follow it. Right? It guided them. So they were always moving from one spot to another. At this particular time, they were in a place called the wilderness of Paran. By the way, there were certain places that they were referred to as wilderness of something. Amongst all the several places that they were before they actually got to Canaan. There were five places that they got to that the Bible refers to as wilderness of something. You remember they got to wilderness of Shur at a time, then from wilderness of Shur to wilderness of Sin, wilderness of Sinai. Now they are in wilderness of Paran, and you see them also at a place called the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N. Five different wildernesses, and we've talked about that previously, you know, their experience and what that means to us as 21st century believers. Right now they are in a place called the wilderness of Paran. Now God spoke to them, and his word was very clear. Verse number 1 of chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." Stop. So the assignment is so clear. Moses, I want you to send spies out. Let them go into the Canaan. That's the land I am giving them. We're not contending. We're not there. This is not no more under contention. The land is going to be given to them. I want the people to go in there to spy out. Espionage used to be a very important part of, you know, military tactic in their day and time. We still use it today. You know, you find people addressing people that have come into their country, you know, to spy out, you know, things, you know. It still happens today, but not as much as it used to. And the idea is to check the land and know where, you know, where the strategic location, you know, of things, of artillery, of their defenses and the people, just to get an idea of where you're going and what you are confronting so that you can have an adequate planning before you invade the place. So the idea was to spy out this land. God said, I'm giving it to the children of Israel. So it was so clear. Moses chose 12 people, one from each tribe. They were to go there. And his instruction was so clear as to what he wanted them to go and do over there. He wanted them to check four things, four principal things. Check the people, check the land, check their defenses, and check the resources. Very clear. Check the people, check the land, check their defenses, and check their resources. Now, these people went there. It took them 40 days to and fro to come back and to give the report. The idea was to go and then come back and give the report of the land. And they did. Now, but when they came, they gave the report. They said, wow, the land is so good. You know, regarding the land, very good. It flows with milk and honey. Resources, fantastic. As a matter of fact, when they were coming back, they actually took some crops from the land, you know, and took it back to the camp so that they would show it to Moses and to the people to let them know that you know, the resources of the land is so great. The Bible says that they took a branch with a cluster of grapes and they had to carry it. It was so heavy, it was so massive that they actually had to carry it between two people. That tells you that this was a great land, you know. The resources were great. They also brought you know, figs and pomegranate. These were things that were important in order to verify and to check, you know, the fertility of the land and the fact that it has a lot of resources. All right. So they told him about the land. They told him about the resources. And then they came to the people. They said the people were strong. These guys are strong. In fact, we have the descendants of Anak, who were supposed to be giants, who were there. And regarding the defenses, they said they were fortified. They are large, and they are fortified, you know. So, now, as they were given this report, there were certain emphasis on certain aspects of what they saw that actually frightened the people. And that's why they are crying here. Frightened the people because they were beginning to give certain report that is inconsistent with the mind of God. What's the mind of God? Go and spy out the land so that you can go and take over the land. But the report they are giving now, they are giving the report in such a way that is going to give the impression that they are not able to actually go into the land. And the people that they are giving it to, the children of Israel, they believe this report. They believe this bad report. And just like some of you, you know, the Lord gave us a clear word of instruction. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. He first introduced himself. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is a rhetorical question to let you answer. Nothing too hard. That's his position for us, for you and I, 2023. But I can bet you that there are certain reports that will come to counter that position. They are going to come to counter that position to ask you the question, do you really think that God means that nothing, as in nothing, as in zero? Don't you think God means just nothing in the generic form, that is some things that are good? No, no, no. That's, those are the things that you're going to get, you know. Bad report, God says, I will supply your needs. 2023, I'm going to supply your needs. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Supplying your needs will not be hard for me. But then you are going to get some people to tell you, oh, in 2023, supply is drying up. You know, God says to you, I will keep you in perfect peace. I will keep you in good health. Somebody is going to tell you, no, expect some chaos and depression in 2023. That's the projection, okay? God says, go out and possess the nations. That's his word of instruction. But don't you know that people are going around saying, it's not a good time. Not a good time to buy. Not a good time to sell. Not a good time to rent. Oh, so we should all live on the streets. It's not a good time. You know, don't buy anything, don't sell anything, don't live anywhere. Just wait. 2024 will be... Don't fall for such bad reports, people of God. There are people in 2022 when they say we're not supposed to buy and sell, they bought, they sold, they profited. And it's going to happen again this year. So don't allow people to give you a bad report and swallow hook, line, and sinker. All right. God says, be generous soul. Be generous this year. Be generous to me. Be generous to people. The generous soul, the Bible says, will be made fat or rich. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And they will say, generous people are going to have trouble in 2023. They will say, the report has shown us that generous people will lack a lot in 2023. Now the question is, will you allow this bad report to undermine your faith and your confidence, your trust in the Lord as we progress into the year? Now, when they came, interestingly, there were two groups. 10 people gave this bad report. 2 people, you know the story, Caleb and Joshua, gave a report that is consistent with God's word. All right? Now, question. Why did the people believe the bad report rather than the good report? Because it still happens today. It is the natural thing to gravitate towards bad report. And I hope you know bad report sells. You know, you hear the news, a teenager left the house and did not come back. Dun, dun, dun. And everybody tunes in. But you don't hear the news, oh, this 60-year-old went to school and came back safely. That's not news. It doesn't sell. Okay, because bad report is good report for the media. And you are expecting to hear a lot more this year, not just from the media, but from people. Now, why do people naturally gravitate towards bad report? In other words, why do people naturally gravitate towards the report that is inconsistent with God's word? Very simple. Let's talk about the first thing, the majority factor. The Bible says there were 12. 10 actually gave the bad report. Only 2 gave the good report, or the report that is consistent with God's word. Why? Because bad report is always more popular. And that is why you will always get more people believing bad reports. 10 out of 12, bad report, only 2 gave the good report. So that's the majority factor. And expect that the majority still here in 2023 will give you bad report. Let's talk about the mastery factor. We've talked about the majority factor. Let's talk about the mastery factor. The people who give bad report are supposed to be the people who know. Now, if you go back into chapter number 13, in fact, look at it, chapter 13, verse number 2. This is what it says. Chapter 13, verse 2 says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man. But not just any man, everyone a leader from among them. So these are people that are supposed to be leaders. These are people that are supposed to have a mastery of things that takes place in Israel and around it. These are people that are supposed to be what you and I will call experts. All right? So apart from the fact that you are going to deal with majority, you are going to give you the bad reports about the promise of God for your life this year, the people that are also going to be giving you the bad reports are actually going to be experts in those fields. So the natural thing is for you to want to believe them. Oh, not too long ago, they told us that the interest rate was not going to rise until 2024. Has it risen? Not once, not twice. I think it's risen 7 times now. But we believed them because we thought they were what? Masters. They had mastery. They were supposed to be experts. Expect that people that you consider as experts and specialists are going to tell you things that are contrary to God's word today. So this year. So majority factor, we have the mastery factor. And the last thing is that the reason why many more people believe bad report is because it's often mixed. In other words, it always comes with mixed messages. Half-truths, people say, are worse lies. In other words, they are going to tell you, whatever they are going to tell you, you are going to believe it because part of it is going to actually, they are going to be true. So if it was all lies from beginning to the end, then it's going to be easy to pick it out. But when you have mixed truths and lies, you are likely going to believe it because there is an element of truth in there. And that's exactly why bad reports sell. When these guys came back, when they talked about the land, they said the land was flowing with milk and honey. Is that true? Absolutely. It's true. They said it's a large land. Is it? Absolutely. They said it produces great fruit. Is it? Absolutely. But then they have introduced the lies. They are so big that we're not going to be able to conquer them. That's a lie. But because there have been so much truth, it's difficult to pick up the lie. I'm saying the reason why people fall for the lies is because it doesn't come just by itself. It comes with a bit of truth with it. Now, what do you then do, people of God? Because the point I'm trying to make here is that you will have to beware of bad reports because they are likely going to come to you this year. And those reports are going to negate the word that has been given to you and I. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is your health too hard for me? No. Finances too difficult for me to handle? No, Lord. That's your response. Until you came across bad report. And then you begin to have shaky, faith of a sort because it's attacking the very base of your trust in the Lord. I'm saying buyers beware. Buyers beware. Now, so what do you then do when bad reports come this year? Pay attention to me. What then do you do when bad reports come? Don't forget what we said at the very outset. They are bad simply because they are inconsistent with God's word. They are inconsistent with the prophetic word for you this year, for you and for me. So what do you do when they come? Number one, recognize it as one. You need to recognize a bad report for what it is, that this is indeed a bad report. This report is inconsistent with the word for me this year, with the word of the Lord for me this year. You need to recognize the word, or you need to recognize bad report. Now, how do you recognize bad report? It's so simple. It's because you are familiar with the good report. If you're not familiar with the good report, there's no way you'll be able to recognize the bad one. You know, the word that the Lord has given to us this year is something that I'm beginning to meditate upon right now. Over the past couple of days, I'm holding up onto it. I'm trying to chew the cord and digest it and assimilate it into my system such that when there is an element, the slightest element of a bad report, there is a response from within my spirit because I've already swallowed, I've already assimilated the good report to the point that at the very least, at every point in time, even with the least amount of untruth or false or falsehood or lies, then you will be able to detect it. This is not for me. This is not of God. So you need to recognize bad report. Recognize it as one. Number two, you need to reject it. You need to reject it. You need to refuse it. In other words, you need to take it away from you. You need to ignore it. In other words, don't buy it. Don't buy it. The idea is to cajole you into believing the report. Don't buy it. You know, I love the way Jesus dealt with a particular bad report that came to a man. Mark chapter number 5, we probably don't have the time to go there. Mark chapter number 5, Jesus came to a place and a man by the name Jairus came to him. Mark chapter 5, let's quickly see that. Mark chapter number 5 and look at verse 21. Mark 5:21. This is what the Bible says. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boats to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. The man came, Jesus, my daughter is about to die. Come and help me. And Jesus said, no problem. And he followed him. Now, along the way, something happened. A woman came, touched the hem of Jesus' garment, you know, and Jesus says, who touched me? And you know the rest of the story. The Lord healed her. While that was taking place, people came from Jairus' house. Look at what he says in verse number 35. While he was still speaking, verse 35 now, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? That's a bad news. That's a bad report. This person has already secured the attention of Jesus. Jesus has already started going with him to his house. All of a sudden, some people came and said, don't bother yourself. You know, the child you are trying to get, you're just going to be wasting Jesus' time and your time because the child is dead. Next, this is what Jesus said. While he was still speaking, as soon as Jesus heard the word, which word? The word that was spoken, this bad report that these folks have brought, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. That means, my friend, ignore them. Keep your faith, ignore them. And many more of us, we need to do this in order to be able to hit the good of 2023. You know, Jesus says, don't be afraid, just ignore them. And then Jesus went eventually and he raised the dead and the rest, yeah, you can read about it yourself. The child actually, you know, came back to life. I am saying you need to reject bad reports and not allow those bad reports to settle. Don't let them even settle for a moment. You know, part of rejecting it may actually mean that you rebuild the source. You know, if possible. There are instances where you are not going to be able to rebuild the resource, you know. if the report is coming from your father-in-law, for instance, it's going to be disrespectful to be to be rebuking it. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder, okay? But in certain instances, there are instances where you say, no, don't talk like that around me, you know. We don't talk that way around me. I mean, we have it in our family oftentimes, you know. No, don't say that. We don't say that in this place, okay? You need to rebuke it. Or a friend is coming with some report that is inconsistent with your faith in Christ, with your trust in him. No, please, don't go there, you know. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. No, don't bother, you know. You need to reject it. You need to rebuke. You need to refuse it, you know. That's exactly what Caleb did, you know, in chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. This is what Caleb did when he heard about this bad report that these guys were given to the people of God. Numbers 13, verse 30. The Bible says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Stop, guys. Don't say that anymore. Stop. There are instances where you actually need to remove yourself from the atmosphere that actually is churning out bad report. You need to be able to control your atmosphere. In certain instances, you stop people. You know, there have been instances when I'm in my office, and I mean, it's my office, it's my clinic. I run the show in this clinic. So when I have a patient who is saying bad things and swearing words, I remind them, hello, please. You know, of course, in a nice way. Don't say that here. This territory is mine. Save your issue. Let's deal with it. And don't come with all kinds of foul language here. And some of you need to do that with friends, with families, with people that invade your space and begin to drop quantum of bad reports. Because you're going to deal with the mess when they have left. And that's why you need to stop them. And what I've found, especially in dealing with my friends and family members, is that when you stop them first time, second time, third time, they won't repeat it. When they start, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Excuse my language. Sorry, doctor. You know, because they have been corrected. You rebuke, you stop it. You don't use those words here. Why? Because you are trying to protect a faith that you are building. You're building that faith on the word of God. And so every rubbish that is coming to undermine the word, you need to protect it. This is your baby. You are carrying it, you are growing it. Nothing must damage this beautiful plant. All right, so you need to reject it. And some of it, you need to actually do it with some level of, you know, decisiveness and authority. And finally, you need to repeat, restate, and re-echo the good news. You need to repeat, you need to restate, you need to re-echo the good news. Why? Because that's exactly what this Caleb and Joshua, that's what they did. You know, they stopped those guys. Don't give these people bad reports. And then they started to give them, this is the report that the Lord, chapter 14, this is what they said. Chapter 14 and verse 8. They said, don't speak to the people like that. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. That's their position. But you know, good reports don't sell very well. It will interest you to know that once these guys have given this good report, you know what the children of Israel wanted to do? They wanted to stone them. They welcomed the bad report from the bad guys. Oh, you're saying the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. We can't take this land. We need to go back. And I began to think about it. When you are planning to go back, do you remember that the Lord parted the Red Sea? Are you going to go over that again? They had no clue. They didn't even think about that God actually parted the Red Sea for them. Now you're going back to Egypt and you're going to go through the same Red Sea. Who's going to part that way for you? But under fear, under trepidation, people don't think. And that's why you don't allow bad report around you. You know, people say, no, but he's saying it's objective. If its objectivity is in line with the word of God, yeah. If it's not, no. To the law and to the testimony, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's simply because there is no light in them. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If whatever you have brought is inconsistent with this word, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? If it's inconsistent with that, then there is no light in it. I have no reason to allow you to even finish the sentence. You see, this is what makes certain believers very difficult to be friends with. Because they don't take these negative things around there. Say, that guy is too difficult. You know, whatever you say, it's always quoting the scriptures. It's always quoting the Bible. You know, have you come across friends like that? Say, no, that's not God's word. That's not God's word, brother. No, don't say that. Those are the real deal. They understand that they are trying to build their faith and trust in God, and they will not allow any Tom, Dick, and Harry to come and destroy what they are building. Because faith is a building. You build it. The trust is a building, you know. And as you are building your faith in the Lord, you don't allow all this rubbish. I'm saying to you, people of God, let's believe God's report. Let's believe God's report. Isaiah 53, verse 1, as I round up this morning. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Isaiah, in this place, is here presenting a Messiah. And the Messiah is presenting, it's not the Messiah that many of the children of Israel were expecting, a Messiah with strength and with power. He's presenting a Messiah that is going to suffer. But that's the real deal. Because through his suffering, we are going to receive life. And it's as if Isaiah is saying, who has believed this report? In other words, who will buy this that we're talking about? I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. It's the word of the Lord. I understand it may be difficult for you to receive and to buy him. But that's the real deal. That's the real deal. The songwriter says, whose report will you believe? And he concludes by saying, we shall believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, it may not make sense, but believe it. I am challenging you, people of God, as we go into this year, believe the report of the Lord. Believe the report of the Lord. The most devastating news that you will ever, the report that you will ever believe this year is to believe that you can do it without him. That maybe with more strength, with more strategy, with more power, with more investment of time and resources, it will work. I'm saying that rather than doing all of those things, even though they are not bad in themselves, will you please start from the basis, which is your trust in the Lord, and walk upon this trust, and do not let any bad report undermine your confidence in the Lord. Because I can tell you, those bad reports are likely going to come. It's just a function of time. How do you deal with it? You recognize it, you reject it, and you restate the word of the Lord, which is, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And your response is, no, nothing, Lord, is too hard for you. Let us pray.